You can support this show at patreon.com/ASAPodcasting. Hello, welcome back, Skyrimatic Podcast. I'm Michael. I'm with Victor.
Good evening.
And Ray.
Yeah, hello, hello.
We're back. Weirdly, this week, I'm the one who's played the most characters of everyone.
Kind of freaking me out.
I just went bouncing through them like they were nothing. All kind. I did run into some of them. I had to quit because like stuff didn't work. Where I'd like get to points and I'm like, oh well, yeah, this isn't going to happen because I can't go to Windhelm at all. Or I had some issues with mods on the Xbox.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I actually did try Legend of the Dragonborn on Xbox on my last character.
Wow, I didn't realize that was out for Xbox. That's pretty impressive.
Apparently,
it's such a huge mod.
It is. It's a little rough for the One X, I will say.
Oh, okay.
Seems like people have pretty good luck on the Series X.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just getting too much crashing.
Yeah.
Going to places just because it changes so much, you know.
Yeah, it really does. Yeah.
It wasn't stuttery or anything like that, but generally when I was like changing places is where, like if I was entering a building or entering a town, I would get crashes randomly, and it just after a while it got to be a little too much.
Yeah. So
I tried it out a few times. Like I tried it out with I think I had Winter Sun and Obsidian and stuff like that in the patch and all that for it, and and it was crashing a bit. So then I pared it down and started a new character after I played about 10 levels with that and just loaded Legend of Dragonborn and the patch for Anniversary Edition, and that's it.
Okay.
And that was going pretty good, but then I was still getting the crashing issues. So basically it's just I think that it was just a little too much for the One X to be able to run.
Yeah, it's got to be right at the byte limit.
It's probably pretty damn close. Yeah. So I think from what I could gather on Reddit, most people with Series X, like they would have crashes here and there, like you would expect, but nothing, you know, that would be cumbersome while you're trying to play the game or be an annoyance while you're trying to play the game. But it did work pretty well. So like if you have a Series X and you want to play it on Xbox, I mean, I would definitely go for it and load it up. I think at one point I had like 70 or 80 items in the museum, so I was getting pretty good along, you know.
Yeah. There's I don't know if this is available for Xbox for which, you know, for but for my money anyway, especially for somebody who's played a lot of Skyrim and wants to do Legend of the Dragonborn, the Live Another Life option to start as the guild master or in the guild hall. I don't remember if you're starting as the actual guild master, but you're starting in the Legend of the Dragonborn guild hall is a really good option if you played a lot of Skyrim but you want to get into playing Legend of the Dragonborn. I don't know if that's available for Xbox or not.
There is the option in Live Another. I don't think the guild hall is there.
Okay.
But I don't think that's part of it from what I could tell. But there's an option in Live Another Life to arrive at the docks and become a relic hunter.
Okay. Is that what I'm thinking of, Ray? I mean, you've played it, right? I mean, so I thought there was a Live Another Life option to start as the guild master or something to that effect.
Right? Yeah, I think that's in the edition pack.
Okay.
The archaeology thing or the archaeology pack?
Well, there's a bunch of add-ons. Like the character that I just started, I did the the start in Bruma.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
And so I had to load another mod in addition to this one to add those features to Live Another Life.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Yeah, because with this one, on the Xbox, if you have Live Another Life plus the add-on to Live Another Life with the extra starts that you can do. If you start at the Solitude Docks, once you arrive, it will then say, do you wish to, I think it's like, be a relic hunter or whatever.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
And so you start, it starts you off with the quest for going to the museum.
You go right into Ori, talk to Ori.
Yeah, you immediately, that's like the first quest you get is to go up there and talk to Ariel. And then you get 15 other notes for every anniversary edition thing. That's as soon as you walk back out the door, like five couriers arrive.
It's an awesome mod. I mean, and the guy is, it's a super active community of modders. I think it's Ice Cream Assassin is the original author. And there was a lot of talk the last time I looked into it, maybe a year ago, of a sequel mod. I don't know if that what the progression of that is, but I'm pretty sure they're working on it. It's a huge DLC sized sequel to Legend of the Dragonborn. So, I contributed some money to it. But I don't know where the
The last update was July of last year, so it's only been 6 or 7 months.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, they're pretty amazing. So I love the archaeology part of that mod.
It's really great.
The quests are so fun.
Yeah.
It really is.
So there is an extension allows you to start as the relic hunter. For the Mods Museum in Solitude.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, that's basically the same thing.
It's not Guildmaster. So it was. I think there's some tie-in with Live Another Life. Yeah. It's cool.
Yeah. So that was actually one of them. I finished up the King Killer I was playing. I just basically ended up going through the Dark Brotherhood and just finishing that up. That was pretty fun. That was the I forget what the King Killer had. Was he an Imperial? Oh yeah, an Imperial. It was a female Imperial. That's right. And it was all one handed in alchemy, essentially. So that was pretty fun. I went through that. I didn't do a lot with the extra Dark Brotherhood stuff. The mods I added on. I just basically went through regular Dark Brotherhood. Then I started the Wood Orc, and this is where my modding issues came. So I started the Wood Orc, started an Orc Stronghold. I added the Roaming Civil War Patrols and the Roaming Bandits. And there was a lot of Roaming Bandits and a lot of Roaming Civil War Patrols.
Oh, dear.
And it was creating a lot of issues. First, like, everybody was dying. Like, they appeared outside I was at White Run one point, and they just wiped out the stables. So everybody was dead at the stables except for the guy in the cart. he was the only one left alive.
Yeah, I can't kill him.
I was like, all right, well, nobody's at the stables. We got that. That's a problem. Basically, anytime I walked down the road, there was a roving horde of bandits coming after me. I was like, all right.
It's hard to get anything done.
Yeah, this is like worse than dragons at this point.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, God. But then the patrols were so big, they were just bogging down everything. And it would just like slowly, the frame rate would just like sink. And I was like, all right, let me kick off the Civil War, see if that'll like settle it down. Maybe I'll go through the Civil War and get that done. Well, every time no matter how I tried to get to Windhelm, I could not go to Windhelm. So I tried, was it Old for Old Dan? Or is it Kynesgrove that's right there, right?
Kynesgrove.
So I was at Kynesgrove because I went up there for the dragon thing, and then I was going over to Windhelm. Soon as I got over the hill, because I didn't take the road in case there was any patrols, I didn't want to go on any patrols. So I went over the mountain a little bit. Soon as I could see Windhelm, boom, crash.
Wow.
Like, oh, that's weird. So I tried again. I went down the road this time. I'm like, I'll try the road, mate. Crash. I was like, huh, that's weird. I was like, I'll go back to Whiterun and I'll take the I'll take a carriage. Crashed. Yeah. I'm like, I guess I can't go to Windhelm.
Yeah.
This is going to be a problem in the Civil War quest line if I can't go to Windhelm.
that's actually, believe it or not, those kind of crashes are pretty common when you have spawns like that.
Yeah, I 99% knew that's what was causing it. Every time I was going there, they were spawning there, and it was just causing the crash. So it was Skyrim at War was the mod, and Traveling Bandit Patrols was the other one. But
You had both mods loaded.
Yeah, I had both loaded.
That's
and there was just so many people running around that I mean, if both
well, they were probably trying to spawn in the same spot.
Yeah, and it was just causing havoc. Yeah. So I had fun with the woodwork for the little bit of time I got to play it.
But, well, restart it without one of those two mods and see if it gets if it's as bad.
I mean, yeah, I did try playing around with it and paring it down. I'll probably go back to play that. The woodwork thing was pretty fun. I'll probably go back and play it again. But
once that stuff is baked into a save, though, it's just
And I wasn't very far along, so I was like, I didn't feel bad like dumping it. I was like, I played like whatever 5-10 levels or whatever, and it wasn't, wasn't awful. I did the Sapphire Smuggler, which another Sky Hypothesis. That was the one, that's the one that's the Skooma Dealer.
Right.
Have you done that one, Ray?
It's one I was going to do, but never ended up doing it.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty fun. Yeah. I went through the Complete Thieves Guild with the Sapphire Smuggler, where you have to get the, she uses the bound bow. And essentially, they role play it as the potions are Skooma. I just added a couple Skooma mods, you know, a Skooma dealer in Riften and some Skooma recipes and stuff just to make it a little better. But yeah, it was really fun. It was a really fun character because I tried not to use the bow hardly at all unless I absolutely had to, and put everything like you put a lot into speech, I think it was. And obviously, you know, pickpocketing, lockpicking, poisoning. You do a lot of poisoning, alchemy. That was a pretty fun character, actually. That one I highly recommend because it's so different. You know, you're not you're barely doing any combat whatsoever. And I think I used a house, Autumn Fall or something. It's called something like that. Autumn's Grace or something like that. Yeah, it's a little house between Iverstead and Riften, a little mod house. But it's a nice little house. Worked out perfect, you know, for what I need it. And then I just started a new one with Return to Helgen. So okay, just going to go through. I'm going to play through the Civil War and the main quest, and I think Dark Brotherhood ties into that. So I'll play through the three of those for that.
That's where I sort of left off during my most recent foray into Skyrim was a playthrough. I think it's the Redoran Swordmaster or whatever he's called. And I had Helgen Reborn loaded into that. And that was a lot of fun. I'm still working on it, but I'd worked through a large part of Helgen Reborn and gotten to, I forget. Now I have to think about that. There's a stage once you have recruited everybody and gone through all of that and finished the Civil War, then there's a quest in Helgen Reborn and something is bugged with it. I ran into some trouble. That's about a month and a half ago since I've played it, so I can't remember exactly what it is, but something got bugged and I wasn't able to progress.
Oh man,
unfortunately. Yeah,
yeah, this one I got I have it pretty simple. I just have some graphic stuff, a map, and Return to Helgen, and that's it. I just kept it pretty clean. After after all the issues with the last couple. But those Sky Hypothesis builds are super fun. had a ton of fun with them. Really,
I guess they're taking a break now and for a while they do some Elden Ring.
Yeah, I kept looking for the next video to pop up, and went over to their Discord and was poking around, and then finally late last week they posted that they still plan on doing some more builds, but that they got hooked into Elden Ring and haven't had much time to play in Skyrim.
Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah.
It's a pretty active Discord. I'm just looking at the latest stuff right now. They've got a Starfield section too. So.
Oh yeah. I hopped into their Discord. I haven't checked it out a lot, but yeah. I did join it.
Yeah. So I finally wrapped up the Ninth Priest.
Oh,
Which was it's built as a long play,
mm-hmm.
And the way that they laid it out, you do the main quest in chunks as they introduce you to the other factions in the game, and then after you finish the Dark Brotherhood, then you go to finish up the main quest. And when I went to talk to what's the guy's name outside, the guy that outside of Sovngarde that you have to talk to and fight before you get to cross the bridge.
Soom?
Yeah.
So when you talk to him, you get options depending on what you've done in the game.
Oh yeah.
As far as why he should honor you with a fight. And so I'm the Dragonborn, I'm the Harbinger of the Companions, I'm the head of the Thieves Guild, I'm the Archmage, and I'm the head of the Dark Brotherhood. And so like, how about all of the above?
Really? Yeah.
So, but that was fun. So I could not remember ever doing, the Dragon Priest, Velok the Jailer, who was guarding, Mirak.
Oh yeah.
So after you kill him, you can go to the Skull Village, and you help the woodcutter find his friend, the blacksmith, and then once he's back, then you talk to the guy that's studying the skull,
mm-hmm.
and he tells you about the barrow, and it gets unlocked, and you can go down and go through that two-part dungeon. I guess it's a three-part dungeon. And finally get to Velok the Jailer, which unfortunately doesn't give you a mask.
Oh, no?
No.
Huh.
Like, wait a minute. God, where the hell's his mask?
I haven't done Dragonborn in so long. Fully through.
Yeah.
I think I'm definitely going to have to... because I haven't... I have not done... like the full all the way through kill Mirak in probably years.
Yeah, it had been a long time for me. I kind of forgot how the whole thing went.
Yeah, it's probably been 2 years or so. I had the Vanilla character that I still got floating around that's doing everything. So I obviously did it with that, but that's been over 2 years at this point. It just feels like a year ago because the last 3 years feel like a year. But... like time has lost all meaning, so it seems like it was more recent than it actually was.
Yeah. And then I was looking at doing their Ethereal Pilgrim because I hadn't done a sword and staff build, and so I wanted to try that. But then I got distracted by the Fudge Muppet sword and staff build, because it uses Valkyrie and Morning Sun Winter Sun, the worshiping one.
Yeah, Winter Sun. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And a bunch of those other mods that I haven't played with for quite a while now.
Yeah.
So you think that one's a better one? Because I like that sword and staff is very much a sort of a Gandalf kind of character. It looked really good, the Skypothesis one.
Yeah. Yeah, so I didn't try the Skypothesis one out at all yet, but I liked the mods and everything. There's a special sword and staff that you can get as a mod. What's it called? The ice sword of the Monarch. Mm-hmm. I think it is. It's a weapon from Oblivion. So you do a kind of a tough quest. It's made to be a late game, weapon. So I finally, I made a staff of Storm Atronach at the college, then went in and managed to get through. You have to fight, a Flame Atronach, a Frost Atronach, and a Storm Atronach, just to get the map. And they're inside of a cave with a bunch of trolls. So it's not easy to get in there and get it. And then once you do, then you have to go swim underwater. So it's good if you have water breathing.
Ah.
Because it's hard to find because it's dark down there, damn it.
Oh, man.
And you know, you just have this big X on a hand-drawn map to go off,
and then you have to kind of go off of that.
Yeah. So,
oh, you know what?
That's been fun.
I did the where you have to find the quill for Maven Blackbriar.
Mm.
And oh my god,
it's been a long time, right? I haven't done it in a long time, right?
I've never found it.
Well, it must have been a mod that changed it, because it was in a not a chest, but you know, like a lockbox or whatever. And it used to be so hard. And I was like, wow, this is a nice little change. Whoever did this and whatever mod changed this for whatever character I'm using, this is amazing. Because that damn thing was so hard to find.
Yeah.
Like, it was like almost impossible. It was like next to two rocks, like down the hill from an island or something. And it was like, you could never find it. And now it's kind of, whatever I had that changed it. And now it's kind of with like a little shipwreck and a lockbox. So I don't know if that was changed with like maybe special edition or something, because it was so clunky in the past to find it, or if it was a mod that had changed it. I'm not sure.
No, that thing's driven me crazy. Oh, it was
the worst. Times. Yeah. That quest was so hard. When the game first came out, it was ridiculous, because it was like, how do I find this thing? You end up just killing what's his name instead of finding the quill. I mean, honestly.
You're right.
Yeah, I used Winter Sun a lot, actually, until this last character. I really liked it a lot. I thought it worked.
So do well. I. Yeah. It's really good. The only there's a few sort of gods that aren't available, and it's a little it doesn't. Winter Sun doesn't include, the triumvirate, so you can't worship that side of the Dunmer.
Oh yeah, yeah.
So you can't do Vivek or Alan Alexia or anything. So it's hard to role play that using Winter Sun, which is kind of what this Redoran Swordmaster character is. He wouldn't be a Boethia or a Mephala or a what's the other one? Molag Bal. You know, he wouldn't worship those traditional Dunmer Daedra. So anyway, but other than that, Winter Sun is great. It's got a lot of depth to it.
The one that's really kind of made this one a lot of fun too is that I'm using classes and birth signs.
Oh,
okay. Oh, cool.
Nice.
And so you can use third era birth signs. If you do that, then you can also take a standing stone. If you do fourth era, they are standing stones. If you do third era.
Oh, sort of oblivion
style. Oblivion style.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Nice.
And so I got the Atronach birth sign, which lets me, cast spells for less magicka and gives me 100 magicka, but it doesn't allow for your magicka to replenish.
Okay.
Yeah. but then you go get the Atronach stone, and that one, because I'm using Andromeda standing stones, it gives you back 20 times the NPC's level of magicka when you kill them.
Ooh.
And so I can recharge my magicka by killing, and still get, I've only got about 150 natural magicka, and I've got 325 available because of all the bonuses.
Wow. Nice.
And then on top of that, you don't really use that much magicka because most everything is done with a staff.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Huh. Yeah, I used I also used the obsidian a lot. And with the wood orc with the long shots, the long archery shots, that was actually pretty cool because, like, if it was foggy, you kind of had to, like, take that into account, or if it was rainy, I thought that really added a lot to that character, with the archery part of it, where you're sneaking and you had to deal with the weather also. That was a lot of fun. And
I was enjoying I added a bunch of mods to the Skypothesis build, but I didn't add any perk mods. So I was playing with, completely with the vanilla perks, follow their suggestions. And I hadn't played a vanilla perk game for years, except maybe just dabbling with the Switch and a couple of things. So it was a lot of fun, to follow that. I did have Winter Sun and I think I left the Standing Stones alone as well, because they do recommend specific Standing Stones.
Mm-hmm.
I also remember there's something bugged. The bug that I ran into in Helgen Reborn has something to do with the Fight Club side quest in Helgen Reborn. And I don't remember exactly what it is, but there's something I can't progress past that, because you have to kill the final boss in that Fight Club sequence in order to trigger the next part of the main quest in Helgen Reborn, and I can't progress past that. So something is conflicting there, and I don't know what it is. So. But that doesn't mean Helgen Reborn is an issue. It's whatever other mods I have loaded, because Helgen Reborn is a great mod. It's very, very stable.
They're just conflicting with it.
Something I've done, or I saved somewhere where I shouldn't have, or zigged when I should have zagged, or something. I don't know what it was. But something
not working. Yeah, it's been fun to be back in Bruma, too. It's an interesting place to start, because since I hadn't played the Bruma mod in a long time, I think since we did it on Roundtable.
That's the last time I played it too.
it seems to me there was something. I was like, so I needed to find a sword, because I needed a one-handed weapon. And I'm like, where in the heck am I going to find a sword?
Oh God.
I can't kill anybody. Because I don't have a sword. Then I remembered the Skycaller Temple up the hill from Bruma, that you normally pass it when you're coming down from the Pale Pass. But I just ran up the hill and did the little quest in there and got a nice katana.
Ooh, oh, nice. There you go.
Plus you get a enchanted katana as well. So.
Cool.
Yeah, I went with I haven't been in that Bruma mod yet, like you said, since we played it. So I don't remember where anything is there.
Yeah. It's been a long time. I've had it loaded on several, but I just never bothered to get over there or just to get around to it. Yeah.
Yeah. The first time I loaded in, you know, you loaded in through Live Another Life and you're outside the walls. And so I couldn't remember which way the front gate was. So of course I went the wrong way. And when I got on the other side of the, the town, there was a pack of wolves and they just killed me.
Ouch.
So when I started over, I went the other way.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, the Sapphire Smuggler, who was a Khajiit that I was using, you basically the only weapon you use is the bound bow. So I went with, I figured since it was a Khajiit, and she would definitely use her claws and stuff. Mm-hmm. And the only, like, I didn't enchant anything. The only enchanted stuff is stuff I would buy or, you know, from my selling of my wares. Whatever enchanted stuff I would buy there or, you know, that I gathered along the way. Mm. So I was using a lot of unarmed combat, which was really fun. I had not done that in a long time. And something must have been adding some finishing moves because I had some like crazy like suplex moves and stuff when I was killing people. And I was like, I don't remember. I don't think this was it. I was like flipping people over my back and like slamming them into the ground.
Nice.
Yeah, I think that's a vanilla move.
It might be. Is.
That's a vanilla animation, yeah.
Yeah, maybe I just haven't done enough unarmed combat to...
Well, and then you gotta, you know, it's on a power attack.
Yeah, it's gotta be just
with
right.
With somebody, that's just, you know, just at the right amount of health to die when you slam them.
Yeah, and my sneak was high enough so I had the, you know, I could get right up behind somebody and really, they didn't know I was there. So yeah, the unarmed part was really fun. I added that.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Yeah. If you can sneak really well and get up right up, it's even more fun than like the double daggers almost because you like pick them up and slam them into the ground. It's like more ridiculous and more over the top.
But you can really only do it effectively with a Khajiit or an Argonian, right? I
mean, because you get that extra claw damage. So Plus, I had the gloves from what's his name. Although now, with the brawler, like the bracers in the game,
right?
You can't pretty much. I think that basically opens it up to any type of character at this point.
Yeah.
Because all of those, you don't have to get what's his name's gloves.
You're talking about the gloves with the studs on.
Yeah.
Them Isn't there also a Wolverine style claw glove? Somewhere in Anniversary Edition, I can't remember.
The Stormcloak officer's gauntlets look a lot like that. They've got like bear claws, made out of metal, sticking out of the top knuckles.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, unfortunately, the Dwemer one is, you know, of course, just absolutely ridiculous looking.
Yeah, everything Dwemer is.
You've got, you know, this giant appendage stuck on the outside of this thing, you know, that looks like it would have to get in the way of everything you did.
Yeah.
Except, sort of like the
Fallout
punching
4
somebody.
Power Fist or something. Yeah. Yeah.
Is it steam powered Dwemers?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm still nothing can ever look as. With all due respect to the original character models, nothing can ever look as ridiculous as the original Stalrim armor, especially the heavy armor. It's just, I can't wear that stuff.
Yeah.
Sorry. No. But, yeah. It's a fashion faux pas of the of the highest magnitude.
I don't think I've ever made the heavy armor. Maybe I have once. I've made the light armor, but I tend not to wear it, though. I did use the daggers. I liked the daggers a lot when I was carrying them. But yeah.
Well, everything about Stalrim is really cool. I just
The look is not
screwed up the armor. You can get some nice mods that make it look good, but Black Stalrim or whatever. Cool. You know, some of it looks really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back to it. I'll get back to my Redoran Swordmaster.
Yeah, I'm going to troll through this character for a while, the Return to Helgen character. I want to go through the main quest because I haven't done that in quite a while. And obviously, Dragonborn, I don't know the last time I went through it. It has to be 2 or 3 years ago at this point. So
yeah, same with me. It's been a long time.
I mean, I've done parts of it, some of the black books and things like that, but I haven't gone through the whole quest line in quite a while.
Yeah, when I finally went through, because I didn't even go to Solstheim until I had completed all of the other stuff.
Yeah.
So once I, defeated Alduin after, doing all the other guilds, then I finally went over there. And at that point, my sneak was already 100.
Oh, yeah.
And so the only problem I had was every once in a while, one of the seekers would notice me. And so I would be in combat.
Yeah.
Then it could never find me.
But it would.
But when I would get to the end, read the black book, it would say, sorry, you can't go back to Solstheim because you're in combat.
Oh, dear.
And so I'd have to sit there and wait and wait and wait until they finally, gave up.
That was a pain.
But I could, there were even times where I would bump into things and they still wouldn't see
me. They wouldn't even know you were there. Yeah. That's pretty good. Yeah. I'm just using the vanilla perks on this one too.
It's amazing how, it's been so long since I've been using all kinds of different perk mods from Yash on forward, the old ones that nobody's used for years. And I've just forgotten how actually pretty good the original perk system is, or if you think about how to sort of really min-max things, which is what Skypothos is all about, right? I mean, it's all about optimizing the vanilla game.
Yeah, and I like the idea of doing specific things with a character instead of just doing everything.
Yeah.
Feels a little more intentional, or, like the character has purpose if you're, go in with knowing what you want to do, or, have an idea of what the role is or what the build is.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And then there's an endpoint. You can start over again with something else.
There's always a place to start over.
So I got to say, I was pretty happy to have the alternate start back on. Because most of those other characters I'd been doing were all, pure vanilla.
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah. I will say I didn't use it for this character, and I was like, dear God, this is never going to end. This I was like, wow. Yeah,
just the ride alone is just.
I walked out of the room. I was like, oh my God, I got 5 minutes before I have to do anything.
Yeah, before you can do anything. I mean, it's not even like, you. I guess they could have made it worse by throwing in, dialogue. On the way, so you have to engage.
Yeah, that's true. You don't
and
have
you
to
can't
engage.
Just get up and walk away.
Yeah, that's a
that's
good
one
point.
Thing that Major Slack did with his builds was sort of make that whole sequence kind of, I don't know if you want to call it worth doing, but he had gamed that out too.
Yeah.
So that you'd get at the end of the cave with nothing, right? So he was or with whatever so it made it, there was a goal there instead of just to get through the freaking thing.
Instead of just to get outside.
But yeah, I suffered through that a couple of times for the sake of Skypothesis.
Oh yeah, because I tried going through it. Oh, you know what happened when I was doing my Legend Dragonborn character? I tried going through it because I needed to get some dragon bone so I could make a replica of the Jagged Crown. So I went to Helgen to try and kick everything off, and it was just all messed up. Like, it was there, like, things happened, but not enough happened for the dragon to leave or something. And then nobody told me to go to Riverwood. Like, that never kicked off. It only kind of partially worked. So I was like, oh my God.
I wonder what's up with that.
Yeah, I don't know. It was just like, I went through the whole tunnel and all to make sure everything collapsed and all, you know, all that stuff, trigger everything, blah, blah, blah. Then I went back around the outside and went back in the cave and up to where the bear is. And usually both guys are there and you can usually pick one.
Right.
But only the Imperial was there, whatever. I forget his name off the hand.
Advar.
Yeah. And he wouldn't even talk to me. So.
Oh, shoot.
Wow. I was like, when that happened, I was like, I think we got a problem.
Yeah.
And then there was a spider where the bear was supposed to be, just wandering. And it didn't attack me, and I'm like, I'm all right. Looks like I'm not getting any dragon bones on this playthrough. So I'm not going to be able to build the Jagged Crown, so I can't put it in the museum. I'm like, I guess I could just give it back to them like I'm supposed to. That kind of ruins the whole point of doing the museum.
But you could do, you can do the, the College of Winterhold, because you have to go through, when you go through Labyrinthia and you have to fight that skeletal dragon. And you get five dragon bones off of him.
That's right. I forgot about that. Yeah, that's one way where if you don't kick off the dragons, you can still get dragon bones because you go through there.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't have dragons going right now, and I just went through there, and he had five bones on him.
That makes sense. I totally forgot that. You do that labyrinthian quest and have the
skeleton. It's a pain in the neck to get there, but
yeah, that is true.
Yeah, it sure is.
Yeah, you gotta go on. Yeah, I forgot about the skeletal dragon. Yep. Been a long time since I've done that quest too. it's amazing how you
there's get the lost. Dragon in Blackreach too.
Oh, yeah. Is that there regardless?
I think so. You have to shoot an arrow at the whatever, I think. Don't you have to shoot an arrow?
No, you have to.
Yeah, at the big lantern or shout at it or something. You have
to shout at
something.
It. Shake so it you would have to have, it. You would have to have Fusrodah anyway, or at least Fus, I believe.
Yeah.
So you would have already kicked off the dragons anyway, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. I think that's the only way to get them to come out, if I'm not mistaken. So I guess technically he could be there prior to that, but you probably can't even activate it if you don't have a shout. So
yeah,
and then the ones in Dawnguard aren't there, right? If you don't kick it off, the double.
Oh, the ones up on the Ice Lake.
Yeah, I don't think they appear if you don't.
Really? Okay.
I don't think they've ever
gotten that far without having dragons activated.
Yeah, me neither.
I think I've gone through it without them, but I don't remember. I mean, because it would have been quite a while ago.
Yeah.
I don't know if they are there. And then what's his name in the Soul Cairn? You don't kill him, so you don't actually get any dragon bones because he's already dead. So
yeah,
there is that. But yeah, no, that's I mean, I'm going to be probably playing this character for a little while, at least go through the main quest and stuff. That's kind of where I'm at. Still have a little, not as much downtime as I did last week after dental work. So,
really. Yeah.
I had 2 days of a lot of downtime.
Yeah, I'm just coming out of, an insane amount of downtime between COVID and surgery and everything else. And finally, today, I finally said, fuck this, I'm going back to work. Sitting at my desk at the computer, like generating worthwhile but frustrating documents for the last 4 weeks minus vacation. I finally got back in the wood shop and started doing shit. So
there you go.
So
what other stuff have we been playing?
So yes, I have been playing a large amount of Hogwarts Legacy. Speaking only about the game, it is a wonderful game. It really is. It's a lovingly crafted and well written, and it's gorgeous. It has a few. Well, when it first came out, it had some bugginess to it. We bought it. Sean and Kate and I all got it. Actually, Sean and I both bought it, and then we bought it for Kate. So we bought the pre-release edition, the 3 days ahead. You could buy it, spend $10 more and get, 3 days ahead of time. It had a lot of issues with the PC version. But they worked that out within a week. Wow. They had most of that worked out. There was a lot of stuttering, it just wasn't optimized well for PC, which is not really uncommon for a lot of these big games.
Because they're mostly made for console at this point.
Yeah, and PC, because there's so many variation. Different configurations. Yeah. It's hard to optimize until you really get it out there in the real world and figure out who's got what and what happens. Especially if you're into the lore, and I'm only sort of partially into the lore. I didn't watch many of the movies. I've read most of the books. I always found it a little just kind of, forgive me to all the fans out there, a little juvenile, but it gets better as you read through the books. Yeah. They get more mature, and that works. Anyway, the game is very reverent towards the lore. The combat is excellent. Far better than I thought it was going to be. It was just waving a wand around. It really works well. They've done a great job of making it all the classic spells, Expelliarmus and Revelio and Descendo and all this stuff. I don't know how to, proceed with talking about it. There's just something really sort of quietly lovely about the game. Just the game. The devs have done a beautiful, beautiful job with it. It's a world that you can sort of dive into and really love immediately. Mm-hmm. The character builds are, they're a little one-dimensional. In terms of the character models, you can model any, race. You can mix and match. Gender doesn't matter. There's nothing, particularly. It's kind of Skyrim-esque that way. The devs have been extremely careful to be very sensitive to all those issues and things. So that part of it is really, really well done. The story starts roughly, I forget, 60 years maybe before the events of the books.
It's prior to.
So if you're familiar with the lore, the headmaster of the school in the time of the game is Sirius Black, who, if you're familiar with the books, you know who Sirius Black was because of his portrait, right? So that's kind of cool. It's a nice little thing. And there's some wonderful little nods to lore, the Chamber of Secrets, which is not in the game, is still referenced by the little mark on the side of the tap and the. So there's a lot of that. There's lots of really good, little Easter eggs. I think there's an opportunity. It's an RPG. It is an open world RPG of sort of narrow focus. It's not as wide as, say, a Skyrim or something, but there's an opportunity to create at least a couple of distinct builds depending on what house you happen to be. And you can influence the choice of your house. You don't have to make it random. So I have one Ravenclaw character and one Hufflepuff character. And, I think, so you can take a Hufflepuff character and make it a, a potions sort of centered character, as a Hufflepuff probably would be, and you could take your Ravenclaw character and be more scientific and logical and so on. But, you know, perhaps some criticisms could be leveled at the game for not having a lot of consequences when it comes to dialogue and dialogue choices. So dialogue choices seem like they might have consequences, but in the end, they don't really. There's a few that do, but nothing earth-shattering. So once you've learned that through a couple of playthroughs, you can sort of just, you realize that it doesn't really matter that much what you say to the NPC. Gotcha. It's still going to all end up in the same place. It's just a matter of how you want to sort of focus your character on what kind of spells, what kind of potions, what kind of, and you can, you know, gather beasts. And, so there are approximately three factions of, you know, evildoers, of enemies. There's the Ashwinders, there's the loyalists who are goblins, and then there's the poachers. And they have levels very similar to Skyrim. You've got your Ashwinder, you know, sorcerers, and your Ashwinder rebels, or whatever the fuck they call them. I don't remember any of the names, but there's levels just like there are in a Skyrim. The real fun of the game is the spell casting. It's really good, really smooth. The combat is exceptionally good when you figure out your spell combinations of using sort of like Ascendio to raise a character and then hit him with Repulso and a couple of, you know, a fire spell or, your enemy characters have shields of different colors. So you use the spell classes are color coded. So if you have somebody's using a purple shield, you throw a purple spell at them, which is usually a kinetic spell, a Repulso or whatever. And that'll break their shield. Same thing back at you, you know? So once you get that combat sort of, rhythm going, it's a lot of fun. It really is. It's just huge amount of fun and very, satisfying to pull off these combinations of spells and really, you know, so I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun playing the game. It really is a beautifully made game. I can't say anything better about it than that. It's just super well made. It deserves to at least be recognized for that.
Yeah.
It's beautifully crafted game. And for whatever else there is out there, it is that.
Yeah, so seems like the dialogue part, I guess that's harder. I guess that adds more complexity to it to have the dialogue choices have more consequence.
Yeah, I think they could have done a little better there. And I think that there's, you know, the whole the you have, aside from the spells, which you learn through classes, the classes are kind of, that is, you know, classroom classes, not character classes. Because it is a school, right? I mean, that's the whole point of it. So in the game, you're starting as a fifth year student, right? And there's a whole storyline behind why that is and so on. I won't go into that. But I think they could have fleshed that out a little bit more. There's only six potions that you can make.
Oh, okay.
I think it would be nice if there's a sequel or if there's some DLC to expand on that. I think that it would be nice to be able to craft. It's still a sort of looter game. I mean, you run around the world and you grab everything you can, you know? Mm-hmm. Just like even in Skyrim, where you grab all the freaking mountain flowers you can get.
my God.
And same in this, but you only have six potions that you can make.
Yeah.
And there's also this sort of the, especially with the Hufflepuff, or I guess not especially, but it would be more of characteristic of a Hufflepuff. If you're, that, you know, you'd be growing plants. And so there's three combat plants. There's a, I don't even remember if these are, in the books. There's a Chinese chomping cabbage, throw at people, and it's, you know, it's like, there's the venomous tentacula, which is a sort of a Venus flytrap type plant that shoots poison bolts at people. And then there's a mandrake. You pull out the mandrake and it screams, and and everybody, that's it. I think it would be nice if that was a little more fleshed out. So, but you can, and I have done this with one of my characters, you can sort of concentrate your character on those potions. There's a potion that gives you a sort of a body armor, a little bit like the alteration spells in Skyrim, which is very powerful actually. Once you level that up, there's just one, actually only one level that you can level it up, but you become virtually invulnerable. The balance is that it's a difficult potion to gather the ingredients for, and it's expensive to buy. So but if you can gather enough of the ingredients and make enough of those potions, you can drink those, and they last, I think, 30 seconds or so. You take one of those potions and you take another potion that increases the damage of your spells, and you're pretty freaking powerful. Huh. And once you get the, and you have a choice to become a dark wizard or not. That's one choice that you can make. Whether you want to cast, you know, the dark spells or not. I don't know how much farther to go with it. Juan, I thought Juan was going to join us tonight because he's been. I will say that I've played it on both PC and the Steam Deck. Mm-hmm. So we just came back from a week in England, and I took the Steam Deck with me. And that's the first time that I have spent a lot of time using the Steam Deck.
Oh, okay.
It's amazing. It is such a good machine. It really is. Man. So, I hadn't really had a chance to spend a lot of time with it. And as a member, card carrying, ancient member of the PC Master Race, I have to say that the game, the Hogwarts plays, is much more fun to play on a controller on the Steam Deck.
Oh, wow.
It's just all of the controls for doing what you, for instance, when you're in battle, there's a lot of really nicely built prompts. If an enemy is about to hit you with something, you'll get a little sort of halo over you, of different colors, and you know, kind of get a hint of what's coming. It's a lot easier to protect yourself. You cast Protego, and it's much easier on the console to hit, I forget what it is, but whatever it's Y or something, you hit that, than it is to remember which combination of keys and mouse buttons and shit, you know. So it's been a lot of fun playing on the Steam Deck. Awesome. And it really does play seamlessly on the Steam Deck. It was released as a verified game. I don't know, people who are familiar with the Steam Deck know that there are games that are verified. There are games that are, forget what the word they use, that, well, Skyrim is one of them, that are compatible.
Okay.
And then there's games that just simply don't work. Compatible means that there are certain menus that might be difficult to use with the Steam Deck and so on, and then aren't quite optimized for controller. But the verified games work seamlessly with the deck. And so if anybody, I know Juan is playing it on the Steam Deck.
Oh, yeah, that's so right, because he has a Steam Deck, yeah.
Right. And I know there's several members of the group who are playing the game. I've seen them on Steam, and I don't know how many of them are playing it on the Steam Deck or on PC or Xbox or what, but it is a very good experience on the Steam Deck.
Cool.
So, I guess that's all I have to say about it. Yeah, but it's a great game. So,
Ray, with all your Harry Potter knowledge, as we discussed earlier,
as much as I want to get into, yeah.
No, right? Did you? What have you been doing in the other games?
So, No Man's Sky released a mid-sized update a few weeks ago, along with the new expedition. So I've been playing that quite a bit, enjoying that. I dragged the team back into Fallout 4.
Oh, did you?
nice. On the Fallout feed, nice. we've been all playing Fallout 4.
Have you finished Fallout 1?
Yes, we finished that roundtable.
How'd you like that ending?
There's a lot of different endings, but mine was pretty simple. I just blew the dude up.
Yeah, okay. I just remember when that game came out and Sean was playing it, he was still living at home. And I remember when he finished that, I remember hearing from, I was downstairs and I heard, "What the fuck?"
So Andrew took one for the team and he did the, he gave himself up to the super mutants.
Mm-hmm.
And so they took him and dropped him in a vat of goo and made him a super mutant.
Yeah.
So that was a pretty interesting ending to watch. And then he went back and took out the master. But it wasn't really, mine was pretty short and sweet. You know, you saved everybody.
But they won't let you back in, right?
And then when you go back to the vault, they're like,
sayonara, dude.
Yeah, I'm the overseer. You're not.
Yeah.
Bye bye.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which, you know, one of the most fascinating things, and really the reason why we wanted to play it so bad, was the connection to all of the other games.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Fallout 3 took that, because you're not allowed back in the vault, depending on what choices you've made.
Yeah.
And just all of the stuff that was established in the very first game that they've been true to through the entire series. So it was a lot of fun. The mechanics were a struggle to get through. We don't have quite the enthusiastic support for doing Fallout 2 from Jess.
Yeah.
He's like, "We will do it one day.
Yeah.
Just not today.
Not today.
Yeah, those old games they really are hard to go back to, aren't they?"
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the number of times that I've tried and never got past the rats in the cave when you first start the game without just throwing up my arms and saying, "Forget it."
Yeah.
It definitely, it takes some commitment. So, but it was fun to do, but now we're back in Fallout 4 and contemplating what our next, round table is going to be. We're kind of flirting with the idea about doing a survival, playthrough in 4.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, nice.
So
nice. Just a very quick little aside. I have to plug a game which I haven't played much of at all, but which I know Sean loved, and I heard all these great reviews. It's called Hi-Fi Rush. So if anybody's interested in rhythm games, music games, check it out.
Jess has played that a bit, and she really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it is a great game. It's a lot of fun.
Oh,
so just a little plug there.
I'm terrible at rhythm games.
Me too.
Weirdly good at Oblivion Locks and bad at rhythm games. For some reason. I guess that's all this time. Maybe I'll be on the same character next time. Maybe not. Who knows? Maybe we'll be four characters down the road again.
Yeah, I'm going to finish off with Hogwarts and get back into a little bit of Skyrim. So,
yeah, we'll see how much. It's also going to be more daylight these days coming up. So there is that. So
I do think we're going to. Yes, that's true. I'm going to be spending more time outside, and I have a remodeling kitchen, so I got a bunch of cabinets to build. But I believe the scuttlebutt right now is that the Starfield announcement is coming down the pike within, what, another week or two?
That's what the rumor is.
Yeah. Latest rumors, yeah.
Well, yeah, they have to announce the show where they're going to announce.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, the show where we think they're going to announce.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like, I am at the point where I'm just like, I don't pay attention to anything with it because I'm like, once it gets announced, it'll be announced. Like, what am I, like, I don't know. What am I going to find out at this point?
I can turn pretty quick on my PC. So, you know, if I'm sitting around and then finally hear, oh yeah, it's coming out tomorrow, I'll be there.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I know when that comes out, no other game will be played, for quite a while.
Yeah. Probably for a while. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
we'll see. I have to get as many characters in as I can.
Yep.
But I do highly recommend that Ninth Priest. If anybody wants a really thorough playthrough, you know, that's very well crafted for the game of Skyrim, do the Ninth Priest build from Skyrothesis.
Cool.
It was a lot of fun. It played really well, and you know, you role play it through the entire game.
I like that.
You know, the character morphs as you go along, and it was a really fun way to play.
Cool.
Yeah, I know I've watched a video on that one. I'll have to watch it again and see it. That seems like a really fun one.
Yeah, it's long. I have not played a character for that long in you know, since like the first round table I did.
Where'd you end up level wise?
Level wise, I think I was only like 53.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's pretty good. That's pretty high up.
Yeah.
But, I didn't really do a lot to level.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of get into a groove and you're using the same skills. You know, I was 100 in several different skills, the ones that I was using all the time.
That's sort of the point of the builds, isn't it? I mean,
So it, you know, it wasn't like the one that I was destined to fight the Ebony Warrior with.
Where you got to do everything. Yeah.
Where you got to do everything and, you know, go legendary on stuff and all that kind of stuff. It's just a fun way to play through.
Stand in the middle of town and get beaten by guards to up your armor levels.
You know,
basically, I'll have to take a look at the Ninth Priest one. That seems like a fun, long playthrough type one.
Yeah.
So, and I should probably prepare for, Starfield.
Absolutely. Time to buy a new computer.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Oh, man. Well, till next time, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you later.
Good night.
Good night.